This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
What level of excitement do you have for the series?
Is there more excitement for this game, say, if the Mets were playing the Brewers or the Marlins, the Cardinals? Because, you know, listen, those are good teams. I threw out the Brewers and the Cardinals, but this is one of the best teams in baseball. It's a great measuring stick. There's going to be an atmosphere. Peter, how many people would be at Citi Field tonight if they were playing anybody but, let's say, the Braves or the Dodgers or, like, a big-time team? If the Reds were in town, what would they be, like 20,000 people? You're going to get a full building. And it's going to be atmosphere, and it's going to be raucous. And yeah, there's something about wanting to beat the Yankees. And does it mean more to beat the Yankees than pretty much anybody else outside the Braves right now? Yeah, of course.
The Michael K. Show.
Kurt Johnen.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, guys. Jeff Francoeur will be part of the call for tonight's game on TBS beginning at 7 p.m. And also has five more nationally televised Tuesday night games this season and working the playoffs for TBS. He's also the lead analyst on the Braves telecast for Valley Sports South. Jeff, welcome to the show. Peter and Don, how are you?
Good, guys. How are y'all doing?
We are doing really, really well, man. Excited for this game tonight, as I'm sure you are. Now, being that you are with the Braves, you get a look at this Mets team quite a bit. I'm just curious from your perspective, what do you think of the 2022 New York Mets, and how do you like them this series against the Yankees?
Well, they're well disciplined, and I think that's one thing we can agree on. I think at times the last couple of years when you watch the Mets, they weren't, you know, as disciplined, and now all of a sudden you're seeing them play with. I also think, look, you got Edwin Diaz, who has been outstanding, and you know, when you look at what Edwin Diaz can do from a closing standpoint, you know, I mean, it's a huge, you know, lift for them compared to in the past. I think the one thing that will be interesting as time goes on, guys, is to see the power. This team does not hit a lot of home runs. And y'all know as well as I do, you know, you look at the Yankees, you look at the Braves. These teams have, you know, big home run power, and a lot of times they are able to win in October.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a move, Jeff, I would think, for a bat, because I'm with you that they're going to need the power. Now, you just wonder, Soto aside, does a Bell, does a Benintendi, does a Mancini, are these names that float your boat as far as supplying some of the power they're missing?
You know, it could. I think perfect to the team that I called last year. I mean, you know, you saw the guys they got with Soler and Rizzo and them. They weren't huge, you know, pickups, but they ended up, you know, becoming big. And so I look at it like it'll be interesting to see which way they decide to go. But I do think they're going to have to add some offense. Now, the one good thing, you know, when you got Jacob DeGrom, if he comes back and he's healthy, him and Scherzer, I don't think there's a better 1-2 punch in baseball if both those guys are healthy and pitching. So that helps too.
Yeah, obviously right now in the back of every Mets fan, Jeff, the question, of course, is that if around Jacob DeGrom and when we actually see him looking like Jacob DeGrom again. Now, in Atlanta and outside of New York, do a lot of people talk about the long-term durability of Jacob DeGrom?
You know, I think so. I think like anything, look, this guy's poised a lot of money here in New York or whether he opts out and goes somewhere else, but you have to show you're healthy. And this is one thing I'm very big on. There are so many players in this, but you know, if a guy can stay healthy, then you know what? I don't mind paying him. I don't mind taking that little thing. I think about Judge with the Yankees. This is his second year now where he's been healthy. He's been out there every day. You know, I fall like a Dansby Swanson for the Braves. 3 years that he's played. And so those guys, if they're healthy, they're worth every penny if they're out there and put up the numbers. But like you said, you know it. You got to be able to be healthy.
Now, from the Yankees' perspective, it looks like they're hot on Soto. But Jeff, would you have the acquisition of a Juan Soto come at the expense of not having the prospects to add to this rotation or get another arm in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with that because ultimately, you know, when you look at, you know, ultimately, when you look at a Juan Soto guy, if you trade him, is it just for, you know, this time? Do you look at signing him long term? I will tell you this. I think Aaron Judge is the best in baseball. The idea of a guy like Juan Soto, who might be the best pure hitter in baseball, you might have the two best players on one team. That would be huge. Again, what's the cost that you're giving up, and can you overcome it? And I think that's will be the big thing. I can't imagine many teams able to get a Juan Soto. I think it's a select few.
Now, you mentioned Aaron Judge being the best player in baseball. Man, when you really break down the stats, though, Jeff, you really see how over the last couple of years, the last 3 years since Alonso's been with the Mets, his numbers may be even more impressive than Judge. You think Pete Alonso gets the credit he deserves?
No, I don't. And I think, again, that whole thing, some think about it, not seeing him on the big stage. I know we do for the Home Run Derby, but for the playoffs. And I think, you know, I've said it for the longest time, you know, living in Atlanta, being there, Freddie Freeman, I thought, was one of the most underrated players until the last 2 years. Well, why did everybody kind of think? Because he was in the NLCS. He was in the World Series. And people got a chance to see Freddie. And that, I think what Pete Alonso is doing this year so far has been insane. He's so good. And look, they need him to deliver what he did the other night. I mean, they'd lost first two games to the Padres, and then that game three, all of a sudden they're in a tight one, and he delivers that three-run homer. And they're going to need him to continue to do that, as like we talked about. I think while they add a couple pieces around him, but, I mean, he's definitely an MVP contender, I can tell you that.
All right, Yankees, Mets, you were a part of it in 2010. These games are so vitally important for both teams, especially the Mets trying to hold off the Braves, Jeff. So is it fun to be a part of this rivalry, or can it become a little bit of a distraction when you're just trying to win games and focus on yourself?
You know, it can be a little bit of a distraction, but I'll tell you this, man. I had so much fun in 10 and playing in this series. And, you know, we weren't great with in 10, but I think when you have two teams like this that are so good, I mean, I look on right now and I truly believe there's 5-6 teams that have a chance to win the World Series, and two of them are right here in New York. I don't know, there's no else since we can, you know, truly say that that's kind of happened in this series. So I think you have two great teams. You got the Yankees, who got the best record in all of baseball, and let's be honest, you got the Mets, who have played really well this year and want to continue, and they got a chance to send a message to everybody, you know, is paying attention, because whether you like it or not, whether you're a Mets or Yankees fan or not, throughout the whole country, people know this game's going on this week and that the series is going. So I think it'll be a great one. And I think it's a chance for the Mets. You know, they got Scherzer going tomorrow night. Taiwan Walker's pitched phenomenal. So it's a chance for them to send a little message, I think.
Jeff, thank you so much for taking time with us today. Have a wonderful call. And hopefully we'll talk to you again down the line.
Anytime, guys. Thanks. I saw Michael in Buck's office a little bit ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was he doing any sort of work, any kind of recon, or just bothering his friend Buck?
No, he was just hanging out. I think he might have been drinking a cocktail. I wasn't sure, but.
I doubt it.
Thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Jeff.
Anytime. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks
appreciate
a lot,
it,
Jeff.
Man. Jeff Francoeur will be on the call tonight on TBS for the national broadcast of the game.
He's just a fun guy. He wasn't in New York long. He came in at the trading deadline in 2009, and then he was gone before the end of the 2010 season. And I got to see him play with the Giants a little bit towards the tail end, I believe, of the 2013 season. He played everywhere, Kansas City, the Atlanta Braves, and he was always like a really key acquisition for a lot of teams, a guy that you wanted to get. And he's doing a great job on TBS, and should be a fun couple of days.
Now, you heard what I said about the Alonso stats. Here are the actual stats that
Are interesting.
You might think you know all of this stuff, and then you hear it, and it's kind of like, wow, really? Okay. Since Alonso entered the majors in 2019, 3.5 seasons ago, he has hit 19 more home runs than Aaron Judge, 75 more RBIs than Judge, one more run scored than Judge, 19 more doubles, 55 more hits, and that is despite the fact that Alonso has also made 370 more plate appearances in that time than Judge.
Pete
also in that period, those plate appearances only has 16 more strikeouts. So, Don, you wonder whether or not when the big lights come on in this situation, we know how much Pete enjoys what he does and I think really wants to be thought of as great. You wonder if he has a little extra motivation that so many people talk about Judge like he's on a different level. When you look at the stats, that's not true, at least not offensively.
Well, but a lot of it has to do with the key stat, and that's the at-bats, the availability. Because I was just looking as you were saying that, in 2019, when Pete came into the league, Judge played 102 games in 2019. Alonso in 2019 played 161, missed just one game of his rookie season. You go to 2020, there was a 60-game season. Judge played in 28 of those games. Pete played in 57 of them. So in the first 2 years of his career, Pete missed five games.
Yeah.
Now, last year, Judge was healthy. Played 148 games. Didn't miss really any time at all due to injury. And Pete played 152. So Pete doesn't miss many games. He's missed 15 games in the last three seasons. I'd have to do the quick math, but just looking at it, you know, missed 60 games in 19, missed 32 games in 20, and then 14 games in 21. So that's the difference between the two players. I think the numbers would favor Judge had he gotten those extra 300 at-bats that he lost due to injury.
But that's actually more reason to appreciate Alonso.
Oh, yeah.
Availability
is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, yes, while it may pad statistics in some ways, it's also a credit to him. He's always there. Even in the years in which they both are fully healthy, he's still going to play more games. That's who Pete Alonso is, at least so far. Let's get into today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea, Don. Ready?
Okay. Any resting?
Yeah. Take a guess. Give me some rest roulette.
I mean, I don't know if this is the logic behind it, but maybe just because of all the pomp and circumstance, that let's just not have Gallo involved.
Don, I'm telling you, I think you've been talking to Boone.
I have a relationship with him.
See? Because you're getting very good at this.
I talk to him at least once a week.
What?
LeMahieu leading off, Judge batting second, Rizzo third, Gleyber Torres batting cleanup at your DH. Carpenter batting fifth, Donaldson sixth, Hicks seventh, Connor Falefa eighth, Trevino ninth, the catcher, and Jordan Montgomery on the hill for your New York Yankees. That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, proud supporter of the K Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Dino in South Plainfield. What's up, Dino?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What up, man?
So I know they're saying it's more of a Yankee story with Soto, but if you look at the moves the Mets made as far as the draft, they drafted the number one catcher in draft. Reports are that they actually had the number one draft out of all the teams. They traded for, you know, basically Don Smith is gone. So, I mean, they can trade Alvarez. They can include Smith. They can include a couple of other prospects. These are ready-made guys that what the Nationals are looking for. And a couple of years from now, 2 years, I mean, Scherzer only has a three-year contract. The Mets can definitely throw all the money at Soto after that.
Well, it doesn't.
I know it's a Yankee story, but I think the Mets made some moves that shows that they're still involved.
Well, I agree with you from that standpoint. I mentioned that to Andy Martino yesterday, and he said it's not the lack of prospects. They've got one of the top prospects in all of baseball in Alvarez. It's just the Nationals don't want to do it. Now, I don't get it, because he's going to go wherever he's going to go in 3 years anyway. He could go sign with any of the teams in the division. He could be a Brave. He could be a Met. Who knows? He could be a Philly. You know, so why are you so concerned about the next 3 years of him burning you? The National fans are going to see him have a chance to win in San Diego or with the New York Yankees or with the St. Louis Cardinals. Does it hurt more because it's the Mets at the expense of maybe getting the best deal? If I'm the Nationals, if I'm Rizzo, I go out and get the best deal for my team. I don't worry about what division he's in. But according to Andy Martino, Nationals don't want to do it. So it's not a Met thing. It's a Nationals thing. How do you convince him to trade him in the division?
All right, let's go to Gene in Jersey. What's
Hi,
up,
Gene?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I know the Yankees are having an amazing season, and so are the Mets, but for some reason I keep on – like I see the comparison between Judge and Pete. The one thing that's scaring me is just that Judge is having such an amazing year, and I don't – Pete is still going to be a Met. They still have time to offer him a contract. But with Judge, it's like, how does the team offer him $400 million? He's putting up amazing numbers. May hit 60 home runs. Like, it's scary as a Yankee fan to see him doing this, and he may not be a Yankee next year.
Yeah, it's got to make you sick, right? But I guess if you get Juan Soto, it'll make it easier to digest. But, yeah, can I see a Yankee fan, Peter? Not rooting against him, but you're so excited about this amazing season, and all it's going to do is probably just add numbers to the reason why he's not going to come back. So it's a catch-22, right? You want him to play well and be an MVP, but it could also mean that he's going to get more money on the open market, but you don't want to root for him to have a bad year because then the Yankees won't be as good. It's tough. Like, Pete's not a free agent. I guess he's arbitration eligible in 24, free agent in 25. So you don't even have to think about it now with Pete. And now you got an owner where it's probably not going to matter anyway. But I can understand that caller's fear. You're rooting for him to break the record for home runs in the American League and in some people's minds in the history of baseball and Roger Maris, to win an MVP that he was robbed of in 2017. And all it's going to do is maybe get some team to offer him money the Yankees aren't going to want to go to. You know what? Live in the now. I said this yesterday, Pete, you were off. Just live in the now. You know what? Free agent, enjoy 2022. Root your tail off for him to go out there and break every record imaginable and win the MVP. And then if he leaves, you know, worry about that in December.
By the way, Don, that advice, that's sage advice in general, living in the now. That's the advice forever. That's not just baseball.
The reason I kind of went off on it yesterday, Peter, is I was like, oh, well, you know, you're going to give, you know, Soto all this money, and, you know, what if he becomes a free agent in 2025? Peter, it's 2022. The Mets and Yankees have teams that have a chance to win the World Series as is right now.
I'm
going to worry
thing.
About losing him in 2025. We may not have an ozone layer. The Earth may be a fireball by 2025. I mean, I don't know, who knows what's going on in it. Now of all times, no joke. And every day it's one new worse news after the other. What's going on? I weep every time I look at my kids, apologizing to them for bringing them into this world. What's going on half the time? So I'm worried about 2025.
But this is why it's sage advice in general, because tomorrow's never promised in anything.
Right.
So I agree. You get a couple of years with Juan Soto. You're telling me right now, you're a 75-year-old Yankee or Met fan. You're worried about 3 years from now? Go get yourself a World Series. I'm with you. And that's why I think it's worth it. The idea of being unwilling to part with prospects who you don't know if they're ever going to be good.
Oh my God.
To get a generational talent who's in his early 20s? Are you out of your gourd? And even if it's just for the next few years, it could be worth it.
The laundry list of prospects, Peter. Highly touted prospects. Can't miss guys. They never were heard from. Watching a Jeter doc. And they remember in the first one, they're doing the draft? And the Yankees drafted 6. And we know Phil Nevin because he's Phil Nevin. Not so much as the ball player, but because he was a Yankee third base coach and all that. But did you hear all the players that were drafted that you never heard of before? You know why? Because they didn't make it. Drafted before Jeter, just after Jeter. Do you remember that part in the doc?
Yeah, very well.
Were you, outside of Phil Nevin, were you familiar with anybody's name?
No, that literally stood out because I was like, oh, Phil Nevin. Didn't realize that.
But yeah, Phil Nevin certainly didn't pan out to be the first overall pick, never mind Derek Jeter. He was a nice ball player, and he carved out a nice career for himself. But,
Don, this
is what you're holding on to?
I mean, listen, I'm going to say it. Even with Jason Dominguez, as much as there's been about him, you have no clue. The man may never hit a major league home run. We have no idea. Juan Soto, you know what you're getting. It's right. You know what your dream is? Is that one of them turns into Juan Soto?
Well, see, that's the thing, Peter. If the Yankees had given up Jay Buhner, for Mark McGwire or Jose Canseco, it wouldn't have been a thing. But they gave him up for Ken Phelps, so it becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about getting Juan Soto. He's already Juan Soto. All right, he's probably only going to get better. And if, God forbid, he falls off the cliff, everybody would be like, well, I didn't see that coming.
No,
but you're not trading him for some like aging star that's got like one swing left. This isn't Doyle Alexander for John Smoltz.
Do you remember a few years ago, Don, back to the Nationals, when the conversations were pretty rampant about where Bryce Harper would go?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah! the Yankees were very much a conversation for a little while. He loved the Yankees. He grew up rooting for the Yankees. Blah, 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 blah. Guys, Soto's significantly better than Bryce Harper. Okay? He's a full notch up. This is a really rare player. You and I are in lockstep.
It's not like he's 19 and you're wondering. He's 23 and you know.
Let's go to Matt in Hawthorne. Hey, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, so it's Hawthorne in L.A. So, good thing.
L.A. Hawthorne.
Where I'm from. So, yeah, I know you guys were having that little discussion about the little towns the other day.
I went to a wedding. It was 25 years ago, almost to the day. The wedding in Burbank, Peter, I told you about last time I golfed.
Yeah.
And my buddy, Steve, took me into Hawthorne so I could take a picture of the sign. Like how cool
California.
It was. I'm from Hawthorne, New Jersey, and I was in Hawthorne, California. So it was 25 years ago, Matt. I was in your neck of the woods.
What do you got for us, Matt?
I'm talking about. It's just this whole prospect thing, man. You got to let them go. You know, like Leslie said, man, FM picks, FM prospects, you gotta do what you got to do for now. Like, look at the Dodgers. They didn't want to get Verlander. They wanted to save Gavin Lux. And Gavin Lux hasn't turned out to be anything. Verlander went to who they ended up playing in the World Series, and they won, and like, now Verlander's still with them. They ended up trading some prospects to get Scherzer, and Scherzer left them in the dust. So, you know, they got that Fugazi 2020 championship, but you got to go.
Yep.
You got to go for the now.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to make a habit of always throwing your prospects away and throwing them away for guys that are one-hit wonders or just one-year run. Peter, even if you lose them in free agency, three World Series shots you have. Three.
That's right.
Hey, so, yeah, and if you lose him as a free agent, fine. You lose him as a free agent, but you had three shots at a World Series in the meantime to see if you can make it work. It's not Bagwell for Anderson. It's not Doyle Alexander for John Smoltz. Guys that, all right, I'm trying to get this. The Tigers, were trying to get the 87 championship, and then they didn't care beyond that. So they traded away a Hall of Fame, a future Hall of Famer. And you know what? They got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. They were done. Smoltz goes on to win the championship. That's a horror show. Or goes to the Hall of Fame. That's a horror show. That's a worst-case scenario. All right, let Alvarez, let Deming, like any of these Mets or Yankee prospects, turn out to be Hall of Famers. I got three shots at a ring. And if I win two of the next three World Series, are you going to care what any of these prospects become? The only reason you'll care is if you don't win. But then who's that on? You? Come on. Do it.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We'll do Paul in Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Hey, boys. Yankee fans, you're lucky I don't have DeGrom. Because if I had DeGrom and Sergio, you wouldn't know what hit you. I want to beat you like a pope tonight. Because I'm locked up tomorrow night. I want to beat you bad. I'm tired of you Yankee people. Tired of your 26 rings. It's not 1922. It's 2022.
That's right.
I got a new owner. And one more thing. Mm-hmm. Well, he's coming for you. He's buying Judge. Your owner ain't going to know what hit him.
Wow.
That's what I got to say.
I can't say that I'm in lockstep with Paul, but I love his attitude.
Paul, bring in the heat. I think there are drops to come from that.
Yes.
There are a few things that he said very matter-of-factly that I would like to hear again.
Yeah, it was, really, he never lost his cool. But
no,
you knew where he was coming from.
That's what made him – you know what? It made me think of the calm but always scary Paul Sorvino.
I'm tired of you Yankee people. You
know, and
God bless
him. Now I have to revisit. Maybe Edwin had a point earlier.
All right, more of your calls next. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
What a hack-a-doodle-doo, Andrew.
Who's that? Who's a hack-a-doodle-doo?
It's Peter and Don on the K. Show, by the way. Getting you ready for the big Subway Series game one tonight. I assume Michael's back on the call right there, Don?
It's my understanding, yes.
I had a hunch he'd be around for this one.
Okay.
Yeah. That guy. Andrew said his Phillies antenna went up when he heard me slight Bryce Harper by saying that Soto's a full level up from him. He disagrees.
Yeah, I was gonna argue a little bit too, but you were on a roll. You were making a point.
Thank you.
I didn't want to like create another conversation, but yeah, Harper's really, really, really good.
He Harper is really, really good. Let me take a look at Harper right now. This year,
when he was a free agent, really cool. It was like he was the same, like that same age kind of. He came up. I don't know if he came up as a teenager, but he was definitely younger because he didn't go to college. But no, they're at the same level. If you want to say Soto's better, I mean that's good. But the full level, that was.
Listen,
sometimes you get caught up when you're trying to make a point. I'm not mad at you.
And maybe I'm a little blinded. Well, there's two things. There's one, I probably have a little bit of bias because they won the World Series after Harper left when Soto was becoming a stud. But that team was lightning in a bottle. It just was what it was. And I think I was very unimpressed, as most people were, if I recall, with Harper's first year in Philadelphia. But well, that was a long time ago.
Well, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong. It wasn't so much on him. It's just the team just had the same record they did without him.
Harper's first year in Philadelphia, he was really good.
No, he was good year one. It was year two.
I mean, year two was,
yeah, it was the,
was
short
the
year.
Weird year. And but he was still not bad.
Still wasn't bad.
But the thing was, I might be mistaken, I think they were like 500 the year before they got him and then 500 the year with him.
Yeah.
Essentially the same record. That was the issue, but no, he was still good. Take the L, Peter.
Yeah,
I'll take the L.
I mean, listen, he's not. If Soto's better, it's not substantial. That is, and I'll say Andrew is correct on that. But I'd also like to submit Bryce Harper's a nozzle, and I would not want him on my team.
Really?
So that's a factor
for me.
I mean, come
on. Because he left your team? Is that the...
I don't. What team do I have? I'm a fraud.
I don't know. That's a great question. I kind of think of you as a DC guy, but at the same time, there was no Nationals when you were growing up, so you're more an Oriole guy. But you're not really even that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a fraud. Listen, I have legitimate love for... I have legitimate and also not that legitimate love for a few baseball teams. But I was not a Harper guy when he was in DC. I always thought he was annoying. Then he went to Philadelphia, and I thought he was even more annoying.
Right.
And if I'm going to – if I sit here and give a hard time to Pete Alonso because he's a tryhard but seems like a great guy, I have to give a hard time to Harper, who isn't a tryhard. He just comes off as a nozzle. Now, Andrew, do you not feel the nozzle from Harper because he's on your team now?
It would be disingenuous of me to say that I don't see what you're saying because I felt that way about him when he was with the Nationals. Having him now on my team, I have not found that to be the case, but – I won't fight you on that. You were a big man saying that you'll take the L on the Soto thing.
Yeah,
I'll I'll respond in kind and say, I guess as a fan of a different team, I see what you would
now,
why you'd be saying.
I respect it. I respect
now,
it.
Now, since you're doing the show, and you have an allegiance to three of the four major sports, why don't you declare a team? You've been in New York long enough. What team do you root for? Give me a team. I don't think you should be sitting there without when you have a hockey team, you have a basketball team, you have a football team.
Okay.
It's time. And today's the day.
The gun to my head answer of who my baseball team is, like you have to pick one that's in first place. It's the Baltimore Orioles. I believe it's the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
And you have to understand, I know it's fraudulent. I totally know it's fraudulent. But, like, the Nationals thing is weird because I'm not from the Baltimore suburbs. I'm from the D.C. suburbs.
But there was no team when you were growing up.
But there was no team. So I went to more Orioles games. To this moment in my life, I have been to more Orioles games than any other team in any sport. I've seen more Orioles games than anything.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We used to go a lot. We're talking the Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, you know, Fred Lynn, Mike Boddicker, you know, that era of the Baltimore Orioles.
I'm really loving where you're at right now.
All the way up through the Mike Devereaux, Randy Milligan, Mickey Tettleton, every version of the Orioles I was on board for. Then at some point, you know, like the same family friends and the same friends and family who got me into the Boston Celtics were also very into the Red Sox. So there was a lot of Red Sox around me, and 86 was one of my biggest first sports memories. And then when the Red Sox won in 04, I was very excited.
Hmm.
And then I was immediately disgusted by, quote, Red Sox Nation. Hated it. I've never been more revolted immediately by a fan base. And I ended up going back to my Orioles roots. Then my ex-wife was working for the Mets, so I'm going to a ton of Mets games. I'm now starting to do this show. We're talking Mets and Yankees. Oh, my buddy's the voice of the Yankees. So I go to Yankee games, and my fraudulence is just smeared all over the place. Oh. And then in 2019, the team that never existed when I was a kid.
Right.
But they showed up when I was like 25. And by the way, little known fact, I went to the first ever Washington Nationals game in Philadelphia. Went to the first game.
That's
wanted to be a part of the action.
I was at their first home game.
That seems wrong. I should have been at their first home game.
It was weird. There was going to be a special XM show on baseball with Buster Olney, and they needed a host. Now, ESPN was affiliated with it, obviously, because Buster Olney was doing the show. And Mike Thompson, our PD, said, "Would you like to host the show? We're going to be doing it live from Nationals Park." Their first ever game was going to be on ESPN.
Okay.
Opening the ballpark. It was against the Braves. And so I did the show with Buster, got to walk onto the field. It was my first interaction with Bobby Cox. Shook his hand, talked to him. Me and Buster right there, like behind home plate, watching batting practice, the whole thing. Did a long show, stayed for the majority of the game, and then I drove home. And I got a tour of the ballpark. Really, it was interesting. So you
this
were
when
the
they
first...
opened. This is when they opened Nationals Park.
Nationals Park, yes.
Got it. So, yeah,
so it wasn't their first ever home game. It was their first game.
Right, because they started at RFK. Right. It was...
Which was awful, by the way.
What?
Playing at RFK.
Oh, RFK was repugnant. I mean, I loved it for football.
Well, for football is a different story.
But, no, it was repugnant for baseball. But it is a weird experience to not have a team in the town you grow up in. Literally, I think, until, like, the year that I moved or 2 years before I moved. So it is a strange...
Right. So,
experience.
But I love where you're at now. You're not going with a New York team, which I think is probably the right thing to do. You've always referenced old Baltimore players. It's your heart. It's your soul. I didn't know you went to more Oriole games than any other sport.
I was once...
The team's better now. 500. Just came off a 10-game winning streak.
I mean, listen, I remember where I was when Jeffrey Mayer happened. You know,
what I'm going to do, as a present to you for this moment,
yeah,
is I'm going to go after work today. I'm going to go and I'm going to send to your house. Mm-hmm. an authentic Oriole jersey with a name and number of my choosing.
Well,
and you'll be surprised to see who it is.
Well, hold on. I'm looking at my closet right now. Where the hell is it?
I'm going to go an old school one.
Well, Don.
Because I had a favorite Oriole growing up.
You did?
I did. Because my Uncle Bob took me to a Yankee Oriole game. And this, because I don't want to name the name because it's going to be the jersey I sent you. He got hit by a pitch so hard that the ball deflected off of his body into the stands. And I said to my, oh, wow, who was that that got hit? And you're a little kid. I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I'm like, he's a good player. So I'm going to send you an authentic Oriole jersey with this individual's name on it.
Don, do me a favor.
If you will allow me the.
Do you have the monitor up?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
You know what that is.
Okay.
Is that a Ripken All-Star?
It's a Ripken regular.
But what's the patch on the right?
Patch on the right is. Good question, Don. 100 seasons. You know why? You know what year this is? You're going to know in a second when I show you the back of the jersey.
Was it 95?
No, Don. Wait for a second. When the back of it shows up, you're going to know exactly what this is.
All right. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
By the way, I used to have a black one, too. I do not know what the hell happened to it. So frustrating. I haven't seen it like 20
years. Well, for your birthday and this epiphany of you getting to narrowing it down to the year, I'm going to send you that jersey but the home jersey.
Ooh.
The white.
I would love that. I would wear that.
And it's going to be the name and the number of my favorite Oriole.
Did you see the back of the jersey that I just held up?
Yeah.
What was it?
It says Ripken 8 with the American flag.
Which means it's what year?
With
you don't Ripken, remember this?
With Ripken playing? So that's 01?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Right at the end. I had but Don, you want more for the Oriole story? I had tickets to the game on 9/11. Canceled.
You did?
I still have the stub. I still have the actual, not stub. I have the full ticket because we didn't, obviously it was canceled. Wow. We really
you know,
just
is,
did
this
some.
This is a big, this is a day. This,
this
is a moment.
No, something just
I don't
happened.
Know if you're feeling it. I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it.
This something is a moment because now he's declared. He has declared. So it's as follows, not necessarily in this order. Commanders, Celtics, Penguins, Orioles. That's your. You've now got a team in all four. You now you've joined it. No more prancing around D.C. Oh, maybe the Red Sox. Maybe a little Mets. Maybe a little Yankees. This is it. You declared.
I like what you've done for me today.
You've planted your flag, as Alan Hahn would like to say.
All right, guys. We will get to
you
all.
You got
of
blood
your-
in the ground.
We will get to all of your phone calls about the Subway Series next, right here on The K Show on Yes 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, boy. I could have What a gift this would have been if I did it.
What?
I found the player that I was talking about, autographed, game used.
Whoa.
But I'm like, I wasn't going to – I love you, but I'm not going to spend $1,500.
No, and honestly, it makes you
feel
better.
On a player you maybe never even heard of.
And I wouldn't want to wear an autographed jersey. You'd rather get one I can wear.
Right. I want to have some fun with this. But, you know, $1,500, I might as well just propose.
No, fair point. Time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Let's go back to the phones and talk more about the Subway Series. Let's start with Frank in White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Don and Pete, what's going on, man?
What's up?
What's up, man?
Ain't nothing much. I actually want to ask a question, but before that, the nasty and petty Yankee fan in me has to correct you about something, Don. We didn't lose that first spot yesterday. We actually half a game above L.A., and now we got a full game. That's what they get out.
No, but as far as, like, best record, right?
Yeah. We had a half game lead yesterday.
Because it was only percentage points, so I said that they passed you for best record, which they did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It'll all even itself.
Yeah. But I do want to ask a question as far as the Yankees possibly getting Soto. I didn't, you know, I guess just to get your perspective on it, do you think it's like an either or as far as Judge and Soto will be concerned? Or do you think it will be mathematically possible for the Yankees to keep both? Because in my honest opinion, like, if you were to lose Judge, who's undoubtedly the best player on the planet, like, you know, I know Pete's over there trying to spit his mental gymnastics to compare him to Pete, but it's no question. But I feel like it still wouldn't be a good enough consolation prize if we lost Judge. So I was asking, like, do you guys think there's a possible way for them to actually keep both? Thanks for taking my call.
I guess the only way, guys, and thanks for the call, Frank, would be the Yankees re-sign Judge and get Soto, but have no intention of re-signing him and just keep him for the 2.5 years so that they can play together through 2024, and then you let Soto walk. And maybe things change by then. Maybe Boris is no longer his agent. Maybe finances become a little bit of a different story and you can kind of revisit it. That would be the only way. But because he's not making any really money now, so what would be the big deal? But he wouldn't so much be a replacement. It would just having the excess of offense for the next 2.5 years. Would the Yankees want to do that? Or would they acquire him, Peter, for the sole purpose of replacing Judge? I think if they got him, it's because they don't have any intention of re-signing him.
I just wanted to respond to the caller who said I was doing mental gymnastics to compare Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge. It's really not mental gymnastics. It's literally just a list of statistics that show Alonso ahead in a ton of categories. Now, I understand he has more at-bats, but my point is him having more at-bats is actually another credit to him.
But it is... It is gymnastics if you didn't mention the difference, the discrepancy in at-bats. Then you'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that Alonso's a better player. No, Alonso's not a better player. Just Alonso has played more since he came into baseball than Judge has since 2019. That's the difference. Judge is the better player. Because even if you wanted to do the mental gymnastics of comparing them offensively, it's night and day defensively. I mean, Alonso's gotten better, but he's an adequate defensive first baseman. He's not spectacular. He's not Keith Hernandez. He's not Dom Mattingly.
No, listen, by the way.
Judge is a terrific outfielder with a fantastic arm.
I truly think Judge is the better player. Now, he also said Judge is no doubt the best player in the world. You know, I think Mike Trout would be interested in having a conversation. I think there are several players who would be in that conversation, but I certainly agree he's right there. But again, there's a Yankee attitude that exists that they're not even going to consider Pete Alonso. And again, Don, I don't think the fact that Pete's try-hard antics probably don't help him in that conversation, but he's friggin' awesome.
You got to realize that with baseball, because it's not like, you know, basketball you get days off, hockey you get days off, football, you know, you can really pay attention with the Thursday night games and the Monday night games that you could still watch every play of your favorite team and still consume a tremendous amount of games outside of your team. Baseball, how do you do it? If you're watching every Yankee game, you're not watching Juan Soto. You're not watching Harper. You're not watching Trout because you're watching the Yankees. You might see them on occasion. So you're always going to love the player you see all the time. Believe me, if you watch Mike Trout every day, you would realize he's the best player in baseball. But you don't watch him every day. You might only see him the time he plays the Yankees.
If you watch Ohtani play every day, your head's going to explode.
But he's a great all-around player. Does he have to be the best player in baseball? You know, so and we got into this a little bit yesterday too, Peter. The biggest situation between Soto and Judge is the age. You can't ignore 7 years. So even if you think Judge is the better player now, and I know we just had a conversation about living in the now, but when you judge a player who's going to be 31, you're going to judge him differently than a guy who hasn't turned 24 yet. It's not guaranteed, but it is possible Soto could be even better. I wouldn't want to be judged on where I was at 23.
This guy could be better. Let's go to Carl in Borough Park. What's up, Carl?
Hi, Don and Peter.
What's up?
Hey, man.
How do you let that Mets fan get away with that call? He thinks they're buying Judge. He touched a Judge. We'll buy Cone. They hit us. We'll hit them harder. We'll buy Cone. And nothing changed from 1922 to 2022. We're the Yankees. They're the Mets. That's the bottom line. They'll never touch us. They have a historical season, and we have a better record than them. They're the best.
What is that? How can you compare yourself? The Yankees have been around forever. You know, they've been around. Mets didn't start till 1962. But what does all that mean tonight?
That all means tonight that the historical, we're always going to be the Yankees. They'll always be the Mets. They can have a new owner. They can have whoever they want. We're the Yankees. They're the Mets. We're
how do you explain the late 80s? How do you explain the late 80s?
They won't touch us tonight. But, they have the best closer in baseball.
No, but
I'm
changing
tired
the subject
of you Yankee people.
I just ask you. You said we'll never touch you. How do you explain the late 80s?
Right now, their season is going. They have their best seasons ever. Our season's better than theirs.
Well, it's not
everything
their best season.
They have
damn
is the best.
Well, I don't understand
theirs.
These people. Right, they have, they're arrogant. You don't even have any facts. Carl. They're having the best season ever. They're not even close to the 86 Mets.
Carl. That was so obnoxious, Don.
Maybe I was wrong. Oh, Yankee fans getting all like, so what? So this is the picture that every Yankee fan wants to paint now. So they can't be touched. So let's say the Mets win all four games against the Yankees this year and win the World Series. It's going to be, so what? We're still the Yankees. You know, we still have 27 championships, and you only if they win this year, you only have three. So you can't. So why do I bother playing? So
Carl,
you've already won. You're the best. We can't touch
it's
you.
It's over. Why
so,
bother?
But what does that mean tonight? I'm sorry. Is Ron Guidry pitching tonight? Is Jimmy Key pitching tonight? Is Roger Clemens pitching tonight? Like, so it's great, all the history. So why bother playing, Peter? Yankees are the best. They can't be touched. They've got the history. So let's not bother. So that what fun is that then? So there's no – the Mets can win the next 20 World Series. It won't matter because it still won't be 27, and we still won't be the Yankees. So let's just fold it up. Let's tease football, and we're done. No, because according to Carl, it's over anyway. So why is he even watching?
Good news,
like,
Carl.
Why is he even watching tonight? They've already won.
Carl,
and when they lose, they still won. So what do you? Why bother?
Carl, we have good news for you, though. You are.
There's always one.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1938.
It's the game of baseball. They give you a bat, and the bat is for to hit the ball.
The Yankee curmudgeon caller of the day.
I hope they lose.
Thank you, Carl. We needed one. Maybe we'll get more of your phone calls, more Subway Series, ENN at 6, Peter and Don on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.